Welcome, good gamers, to yet another episode of the Daily Days Podcast, that pathway from yesteryear to the modern alleyways of today. Here, we talk old tech, lost media, and underappreciated art from decades hence, and sometimes we even hit a current event. We're getting philosophical for today's show, however. We're pondering the imagination, or rather, how games can both capture and stimulate one's own imaginative agency. And really, how modern games tend to squash that very imagination with their own photorealistic dreck. It's actually pretty ironic. Imagination, that ability to color in another's creation, the tendency to project oneself into another's work, the desire to read and see beyond a specific fiction, to perceive a greater world than was originally depicted. That's imagination. But does it still exist in video games? In a sense, yes, imagination is everywhere. Elden Ring sports colossal bosses of inordinate design. Spider-Man 2's freewheeling web-slinging is pure freedom realized, exhilaration that required a particular creative vision to implement. And Final Fantasy VII Remake set pieces and character interactions all feel suitably epic and inspired. But it's an inverse relationship, isn't it? The more a developer builds and crafts and details a world, the less volition the player is given to stretch his own imaginative muscle. Here's an example. One of my favorite games is The Legend of Zelda: Link's Awakening, a Game Boy game that employs squat, simple art to convey its deeper pathos and themes. Considering the system's limitations, the game is still quite expressive, endearing itself to whomever plays it. And despite the handheld's tiny green screen, I fell in love with the game's world and characters years ago. Especially Marin, the hero's love interest, who was but a 16x16 stamp of pixels. How did I form such an attachment to something, to someone, so flat and abstract and limited in dimension? My imagination, of course. Without even really knowing it, I just filled in the rest, forming Marin into a fully realized being of substance, of agency, of poetry and soul. This is not a shocking phenomenon. Long before video games, people still stretched their imaginations over campfire stories, books, and radio programs. The human mind became the voice, the sound effects, the cinematographer for so many heroes and battles and sweeping sagas. Game companies spend billions on manufacturing fictional worlds, hoping to sell them as believable places to tell its stories. But not long ago, games were not so cinematic or ambitious, or so expensive. All that was needed were some simple sprites plopped atop some rudimentary backgrounds. The budget came from the player, whose mind crafted and embellished the backstories, whose thoughts matched a voice to every character of significance, whose imagination crafted entire planets and peoples around those patch-like, tile-based landscapes. Take Final Fantasy VI. Its pixely, chibi character sprites might as well be a child's scribble compared to the polygonal, supermodel heroes that fill the modern sequels. It's the same for the Dragon Warrior / Quest titles. Exploring meant pushing a stiffly animated warrior over patches of green for trees and orange for desert. In later games, players went through the forest, ran across the sand that composed the desert floor. Nothing was left to imagination, because it was already imagined. Not by the player, though, but by the developer. It's an irony, then, that the emphasis on player agency and autonomy, so rampant in modern games, places so little its joining focus on the simple magic of active imagining, that other facet of player involvement. Some games do. Minecraft, Stardew Valley, Octopath Traveler, to name a few. But just like TV largely transplanted radio into the written word, the glossy, big-budget nature of modern games preempts the older, more minimalist approach. An approach that ignites the imagination, bolsters creativity, and, from a corporate perspective, saves a lot of money. Less is more, as the old adage goes. But in video games, more is more. And less, per the mega companies, is never enough. Thanks for listening, everyone. As seen in my last couple of shows, I'm trying to release these episodes in a timelier manner. Maybe one every week or two. So please, remember to keep checking back. Also, please check out my website, LostNostalgia.com, for more retro fun and nostalgic journeys. That's LostNostalgia.com. Until next time, then, this is Mr. Picario, signing off for now.